As we go at this convention, just want to give us some parting shots. We return to our different cities, towns, villages, hamlets. As you go back to those different places, I want to remind us of the things that we have learned. And it's important in life to have a focus. You know, we said yesterday how Paul said, "My purpose." The man Miles Monroe once said, "Where purpose is not known," he said, "abuse is inevitable." I believe those are very strong words. Very strong words. This time next year, we're going to have another workers' convention. What's on your mind? What do you foresee will be done? What will be your testimony? Because the life of God charts our course. We don't live in uncertainties. What's your testimony? What are you looking at next year? What would change? What has changed and will remain changed? You must have a focus. I remember, you know, hearing a preacher say many years ago, he said, if you come for a convention, that was the Azusa Convention, 92. And it says, if you come for a convention and you leave and all you said was that you had a nice time, he said, you wasted your time. So when you leave a convention, you leave with a mandate. So from that point, every time I leave anywhere I go to receive, the places I go to like that, to receive, I write down what I intend, what I learned in the conference. And I said, this is the adjustment I will make. You see, you must be deliberate. Growth is deliberate. As newborn babies desire the sincere milk of the word that you may grow thereby. Growth is deliberate. You pre-plan to pray. You pre-plan to walk in love. I learned something from Reverend Sam Adeyemi years back. When I used to be in the intercessory department of Rema Chapel, then at Casino Cima, that's about 94. And then he said, people should operate what is called the law of advanced forgiveness. Of course, the scripture he used is very interesting. You would use that kind of scripture today, where God said, before you call, I will answer. And then it says, which means that God does before we ask. So he said, we should have a principle of preparing to forgive people even before they hurt us. He calls it the law of advanced forgiveness. And taking it further, a dear friend of mine said this years ago, not long after then, and he said, sometimes we overestimate those who are close to us. And we might not even know that the ones that we have to practice the love walk with the most. You know, sometimes we think that the love walk is with some very strong enemies. Sometimes they're just close business associates. Sometimes they're just members of your fellowship. Sometimes it's your pastor. Sometimes it's the people you pastor. Like we said yesterday, you don't just protect those in leadership, protect also those under you. Hallelujah. You know, Jesus said, all the sheep you gave me, have I kept, save one. I kept. That means he kept them. You protect them. And one of the ways you protect those under you is by walking in love. By walking in love. If you are not careful, you will only be showing deliberate affection to those that seem to not offend you. But that's not so with the kingdom of God. We show love to everybody. Those who are under us, those who are over us. Your pastor needs you to love him. And those under you too need you to love them. It goes both ways. Hallelujah. So you have a plan to forgive ahead of time. A plan to pray. What's your evangelism goal? What's your devotional goal? Bible study goal? You must have it. Jesus said, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He gave them what to do when he taught them. After he taught them in Luke 24, 44, 45, and 46, then he gave them what to do. After he taught them Acts 1, 3, and 4, then he gave them what to do in verse 8. You shall be witnesses unto me in Jerusalem, in Judea, in Samaria, and unto the uttermost part of the earth. You must know what you are going to do. What am I going to do daily? Whatever I can't do daily, I cannot become. Daily pray. Daily study the word. The moment I notice there's unforgiveness lingering in my heart, or lust and habits that seem to be so strong, there's something I am not doing daily. I'm not feeding on the word. But don't forget, it is still by the word and the spirit. Don't resort to the flesh. Don't resort to the flesh at all. I give myself to these things on a daily basis. And let me give you some very practical counsel. Very practical. And very practical indeed. You know, I'm your pastor, so I'll be able to tell you this without having to mince words. You see, I've said this over the years. You're not going to hear it for the first time. There are teachings that make you know and are full of the word. You have insight. And glory be to God for them. Those wonderful sayings of salvation, gifts of the Spirit, redemption, the law in Genesis, law and prophets, wonderful sayings like that. But there are teachings that are majorly full of instructions. Those are the ones that steady your journey. World Changers Conference teachings. I'm not talking about the long 11-hour teachings. Those are doctrinal. Those are purely informational or informative. Revelation. But I'm talking about the other surrounding teachings, the workers' congresses, the workers' convention. If you are a true sheep, true follower, those will actually be your favorites. Because in that contains the instruction that will make the informative teachings stay and last in your life and ministry. You go back to those things. You listen to them regularly. Those teachings, you can say once a month. You just take some of them and listen to them regularly. Those instructive truths. World Changers Conference. Those things that are said the last day of camp meeting. Last day of believers' convention. Very vital. Workers' congresses. Workers' convention. They are like the three letters. First Timothy, Second Timothy, and Titus to you. You listen well. You get a hold of them. Hallelujah. The way you grow is the way you grow. Don't forget that. Create time for growth. A major emphasis you must have seen at this workers' convention is developing a personal relationship with the Word of God. That is you away from just meetings, even though meetings play a role in that, but away from meetings when you are alone. I hope that's what you saw. I hope that's what you saw in your group meetings. You alone. Hallelujah. You must learn to also be busy with not being busy with matters that are not your business. Be busy with not being busy with matters that are not your business. Now, the reason why, and I'm talking to you as a pastor, some people find it difficult for us to really relate. Not all, I relate to many people across the world. It's because I don't have time for frivolities. I don't have that kind of time. We discuss the ministry, the word. I don't have time to sit down talking about preachers, ministers. No. We're going to talk. Let's talk about the doctrine of the gospel that's either been rightly said or wrongly said. That's all. Because sincerely, there are matters to eye for you. It's not every matter you must put your mouth in. Now I've always told you, learn to ask questions. And ask questions from the right person. Ask the right person the right question. Because these are details of our everyday life. As you passing through the year, it's likely you're going to have questions. Somebody once said, he asked someone, is it that people do not get married in church? Why do this recent member? Why don't we organize wedding ceremonies? And the person responded and said, we don't believe in all that. You know, that's a very terrible answer. And you can see that many people are married. So we are practicing what we don't believe. That doesn't make sense. There's nobody in Saints Community Church who can say you cannot have access to the pastors. Am I right? Access to me. Not even the other pastors, myself. You can walk up to me and talk to me. I was talking to a friend of mine. He follows us. He's in India. He said, I heard you have a Bible school. You know, initially I used to, he's your friend. I said, Mr. Man, behave yourself. So what did I do, sir? Wrong. I said, you heard. You have access to me every day, and you are hearing. You are mischievous. He said, I'm very sorry, sir. See, that's how trouble starts. Why can't you just ask me, do you have a Bible school? He said, I'm very sorry. I said, you may not know the implication of what you are saying. You have a direct access to me, and you are hearing. Who else can tell you but me? I said, I'm sorry. I said, anyway, back to your question. We don't have. Ask the right person. Why don't we organize wedding ceremonies again? We have not said it is wrong. We have only said we don't want to complicate an already complicated situation. Weddings are tradition from scripture. People should go ahead and do that. And legal in society. The church's role is to be honored in the process. And that's the role we want to play. And if you have a wedding ceremony just like Jesus, you will come there, but don't expect us to fill your water pots. But we will be there. Hallelujah. It's a simple thing, is it not? It's a very simple thing. I know we have crushed your dreams, but we are so sorry. We are so sorry. But how would you take that to mean we don't believe in all that? So you don't say those kind of things. You don't say, you don't do it. No. Don't say things like that. You walk up to all our pastors. That is why we are not establishing churches all over the place in the name of brands, so that we can take care of you. Walk up to your pastor. Ah, Pastor Ayo, this is the question I have. He will answer you. It's mischief to say, I can't just walk up to Pastor Ayo like that. Wait. Because of the order of principalities, power, might, dominion. Okay, look at the hypocrisy. You can't walk up to Pastor Wally like that, but you now talk to somebody else. That's hypocrisy. If you are truly respecting authority, you will talk to nobody again for the rest of your life. So it's mischief. I didn't know how to tell you, but you told somebody else. You knew how to tell somebody else. Ask the right person. I've told you, whatever someone does not need, don't tell the person. Ask the right person. The right person in the local church to ask is your pastor, and they are caring. Sometimes they may not have time immediately. Jesus did not have time for everybody all the time. He did not have time. Someone told me, sir, I have left a message in the inbox for you for 2 weeks. I said, interesting, if you knew my house, you would sleep at my gate. You left me for 2 weeks. Wait till I respond. You have to wait. Even God is long-suffering. He said, do you know how many messages I get inbox? I said, interestingly, I saw it. He said, you saw it? I just did not answer. He said, why? I just didn't answer. What if I didn't have an answer? What if I had to be patient to answer you? You can't tell. He said, I'm sorry, sir. He said, no, don't just be sorry. Be patient in life. Be patient. Don't make the wrong conclusions. Don't judge people by what they never said. Ensure that you ask the question directly and get the response. And if it is not clear, ask again. That's how to be genuine. You ask again. Sometimes, those are the little details that get us into trouble. Ask the right person. There are relationships that you have to define. I told you before, always define your relationships. There are people that brought you to this church. The moment they brought you in, that kind of relationship will have to change. You are now in the church. You now have a pastor. That's what it is. And that pastor is the one that has spiritual authority over your life. Not the person that introduced you. Whether it's your cousin, your nephew, your neighbor, or your husband. No. When it comes to the matters of the ministry, that is the person you relate with. You must define relationships. No matter how close we are, and I'm using Pastor Laura as an example again, she gets information, instructions about ministry personally? No. There are things she gets to know. If we have a convention like this, and Pastor Laura is in charge of the convention, every information she'll get about the convention will be through him. And we'll be working together like this. She won't even ask me the question. Why? Because there are two different things. In your home, she's your wife. In the ministry, there's no office called wife. Define that. Define it. There's no office called my friend, my spouse, my fiancée. Sorry, fiancée. Financier. Or fiancée. I've forgotten those terms again. Financier, what the hell? I forgot to mean the one, eh? Eh? Freelancer, you will remember. You know? No, there's no office like that. And that's why women and men are the same. Don't manipulate your spouses. Don't do that. I want to use your relationship to get into people's lives that you are not authorized to get into their lives. It's wrong. It's wrong. God never made couples pastors over churches. There's nothing wrong in putting the picture of husband and wife in photographs, but we have never done it and I will never do it. Nothing wrong. I didn't say it's easy, but we never. You even find my own there. Anyway, we are not co-pastors. Your zonal pastor is not a co-pastor with the wife. Your church pastor is not. And you shouldn't follow such examples as well. Ask the right person the right questions so that you will get the right answers. Some have asked the wrong person the proper questions and they regret it today. I remember somebody who had left church 2008 and we spoke 2016. She said, but I said, why did you ask that person? You should have asked this person. I didn't know. Because sometimes in the body of Christ, in the local church, they are mischievous people. Mischievous people. You cannot do without them. They are mischievous. No, you should be able to do without them. But what can you do without having them? Mischievous people. And so you must ask the right people the right questions. Praise the Lord. The right questions. Keep those things in mind. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Those simple details. Simple. They are simple details, but they are heavy in the long run. That matters too high for you. That matters that you don't get yourself involved in. Go and listen to the teaching I did on the honor code, the other code. Can you remember it? Listen to it again. And I told you there, when Jesus was speaking to the Pharisees and Sadducees, his disciples said nothing. There are things, it is actually irresponsible and unwise of you to begin to measure yourself with your pastor. There are things I can do, you cannot do. My path is different. I was telling a pastor some time ago, I said, there are people that God has called to do some things. There's the general ministry, and we're all in the offices, the apostle, prophet, evangelist, pastor, and teacher, and we're all doing that. But then God also with that chooses people to carry out some tasks. And you will know. You don't start to now want to do what they are doing. No. No. There are things, for example, I thank the Lord for the life of Dr. Damina that we're doing things together. But I tell people, I said, there are things she's called to do. I am not. And sometimes, you say, Pastor Chris, I said, no, sir. That is you. I'm saying things that could bring fame to you. And I said, no, I'm called to do. And whatever he's doing, we'll be praying for him and supporting him. That's not what you are called to do. Don't step outside the grace of God. It's not, you don't need it. There are some experiences the Lord took me through for your sake. It will be unwise for you to have the same experience and think you will come out unscathed. It will be unwise. It will be unwise. To assume, okay, I will do the same things, it doesn't work like that. It's not about stereotypes or what do I call this? Strategies. No, it's about the Spirit of God. So you must not make those errors. Stay in your lane. You don't hear me? When you see people that have endured in the ministry of the gospel, it's very likely they stayed in their lane. Stay in your lane. Stay where you are called. Do what you are told to do. It shall be well with you. Simple. Stay where you are. There's nobody. The thing about the gospel is that there's no competition. It's not that somebody has to be first, somebody second, somebody third, somebody fourth, somebody fifth. No. If you are first, you are first and you'll be the second, you'll be the third. Because God's plan is for you. So stay in your lane. Praise the Lord. Do what He has called you to do. In the local church. In the body of Christ. Stay there. Praise the Lord. So begin to ask yourself, next year's workers convention, which is another Salah holiday, I'll make sure I'm here. You tell yourself, I'll be here. And I'll be here. I'll have increased. I'm bolder. I'm stronger. I'm much more spiritual. I'm much more mature. You know, it's a goal. You set the goal. There are some people, they have the uncompleted project syndrome. They never finish anything. They never get to the end of anything. You stop something, go elsewhere. Stop something, go elsewhere. Not good. Next year I'll be here. Next year, God bless you, you won't have to. Next year I'll be here. You know, have such goals. Have it. Because if it is just coming to a meeting and being blessed, that makes people consistent. Many people will be here now. You know, when I asked you to stand up, if you were in 2008, see no more people that stood. That's not the number of people that were there. And they call people, people give testimonies and cry publicly how they were so blessed in the meetings. And the next year, you will not see them in the same meeting. Why? They did not plan to succeed. They didn't plan to be consistent. Plan it. Plan it. What you do daily, don't miss your quiet time. When you miss it, make it up the next day. Don't miss your times of devotion. Don't miss them. Don't miss church services. Don't rely on Living Word Media. For example, if you're in Lagos, Yaba now, be there in the service. That's a good attitude. Hallelujah. So endeavor to keep the basics. I told you life has its challenges. There's nothing you can do about it. Expectations can be slow. They can be dashed. Things you expect to happen when you were 25 can wait you 35. Tap. But remain constant. Remain consistent. The one that is within your power is your faith. Your Christian life, because you are dependent on the Holy Spirit. Make that one consistent. Hallelujah. So as we close this convention, I remind you of your commitment to lives. That's fundamental. One person is important to God. Two, ensure as you are growing, people are growing with you in the Lord. They're growing with you. Endeavor not to disciple people with material things. And that's a danger many of us need to avoid. It's good to support people materially, help them, but make sure that that's not what you are doing primarily. The moment you see that someone, all he's doing is eating your food, collecting your money, do it, not gradually, sharply. I'm not asking you to come to church so that I can pay your school fees. Or I'm not paying your school fees so I can come to church. No. I'm not giving you money to eat so that you can come to church. No. Rather, it should be because you are committed to the word and you are a brother in Christ. That's why I'm supporting you. Always get that thing correctly. Don't do false discipleship. Jesus gave food to those who came to hear him. He did not call them to come and eat first. No. It was after 3 days and the fourth day, and the food was finished with most people. And they wanted to send them back to town. He said, no. How can you send them away hungry? Let's get them food. That was the point. That was the issue. And also, when food was shared in the churches, it was shared amongst the brethren. So let it be a function of, don't entice people with gifts. It is wrong. Don't entice people with gifts. So that you can keep up the number of your disciples. It's wrong. You are breeding the wrong kind of people. I mean, it's interesting today that it's been turned like that. I grew up as a Christian, but I even require such kind of help. And I walk to church. Pastor Tokes went to preach in a church a few days ago, at Wine Brand Church in Ibadan. And I knew when he joined that church in 1996. And the pastor gave the testimony of how when he joined, and I knew that, after the service, you'll be the first person to leave the auditorium. And he used to wonder, why do you always rush after the auditorium? And he says, because where I live is very far. You know Imo Road in UI? You know, it's very far. And so he will run. And but those can run. He once walked from Ibadan to Abeokuta, praying in tongues. It's not to pray in tongues, because there was no money. And was going to preach. So tongues helped his journey. And the man said, look at the commitment. He never missed a service, never came in late. And he will always walk to and fro. That's the kind of Christianity that we know. Not the one dependent on somebody doesn't come and pick me, I will not come. And don't forget, that thing was brought in by the church growth people. The church growth people, where they will give you tea and bread as you are going to church, in the bus. Praise the Lord now, we are going to church. And by afternoon, they give you jollof rice. Who will go to that kind of church? Tea and bread in the morning, jollof rice in the afternoon. Every Sunday. No. If we assist you with buses, it's because you've already shown commitment. So, and because we know you don't have, despite your commitment, you don't have the capacity, then we assist you. Which one of what I'm saying here? Don't entice people. See, we have a vision for the world. We want to cover the earth with the gospel. But we don't want to do it illegitimately. I'm very careful. I'm not as particular about the result like I am about the process. How did you get there? Because that's what God will say. So ensure that you are not hurriedly doing anything. Reorder your priorities. One day, I asked us, I think I think you guys were still around then. And I asked that no one should go and pick anybody for church. You remember that service? You remember that service? And I said, these are your real disciples. You remember that day? Uh-huh. I said, don't go. Don't go after anybody. Just come to church normally. And interestingly, a lot of people came on their own. These are your real disciples. So do not try to grow at any cost. No. The cost will be too high a price to pay. Stay with the message. Go and listen to the teaching I just did on Sunday. Demonstration of the Spirit and of power. Who has listened to it? Don't listen to it. Not just the message, the method. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord.